We're discussing Schaik. Schaik is, you know, I don't say pas simcha, or schaik is a little bit, taking it a little bit too far. Ain roi lemi sheyesh le musa. It's not right for a person that has musa. With snag with schaik, to be naig with schaik, with my shabbos, with gatherings, my madais. I don't know the difference exactly. My shabbos literally means to sit, sitting together or gathering together. In other words, a person shouldn't be involved with a group of people involved in foolish, you know, foolishness, or you know. Shouldn't go to a comedy club, all right?
This is a good place. What about comedy skit and camp?
It's a good question. They shamer because they said. Misha Rav Sachako. Oh, how's my simple doing? They shamer Sachako because a person has a lot of tzchaik. Mismay Mairoi. He lessens his fear. Ki b'shas tzchaik, because when a person is involved with tzchaik, a person's, you know, I don't know, it's, I don't even know how to translate like. It's not just simcha, it's beyond simcha, or a different type of simcha. Ein yachal lachshav shum yerushamayim alav. He can't have yerushamayim. It means, basically, I would say like this, like means when a person does not have serious, a person's not serious. A person can be happy and be very serious. A person's, by his child's wedding, person be full of simcha and is very serious. But you can have schaik where a person is not at all serious and he just has that simcha without any seriousness. You know, I find myself, you know, I don't have any specific example, just I know myself, when you let go of your seriousness and you're involved in schaik, so you end up, you know, wasting time, and you end up, because you're not thinking about, you know, when you're not thinking seriously, you're not thinking about time. You know, the guy's relaxed, the guy's chilling out with his friends, and they're schmoozing, and they're cracking jokes, and this person does not have any seriousness, then he's not thinking about what time he has to get, you know, go back to yeshiva, or when Seder is, and it's Biddle Taira. Because that takes away from the spike. It's hard to have both. You can't really have, when you have spike, you don't have seriousness. You know, it's a difficult balance. I know, certain, I've had different rebbeim throughout my life. I've had rebbeim that were, I mean, I've never had any rebbeim that I would call them, you know, jokesters or, you know, bali schaik. I've had rebbeim that were more chilled out, so to say, more relaxed. And I've had rebbeim, you know, that were very intense and would rarely crack a joke or rarely, you know, really be relaxed, really like you could see, you know, be relaxed. Now, and both of these rebbeim, or all these rebbeim, were very great, were all very great in learning, were big talmidei chachamim. So the question is, you could say the rebbe that was, it's possible, I'm not saying that that way, the rebbe that's more serious has more yerushamayim and is a bigger tzaddik, and the rebbe that's more relaxed is not. It could be. I don't know. I don't.
This doesn't make any sense.
Second,
it's apples and oranges.
Right. Right. So, yeah. I'm saying like this. It could be. There's, to a certain extent, the rebbe that's very, very serious has more yeshamayim and is a greater person. But what I think it is as follows. You know, I think as follows. Elio is right that a rebbe might have to be relaxed And the truth is, the rebbeim that I've had that were very serious and very intense, it was very hard to develop a kasher with them because they weren't able to, you know, spend time with you. You know, if you had a life and death issue, you know, so they'll spend the time with you. But just to stand and talk with them, you know, you felt uncomfortable, you're wasting their time, and it's hard to develop a shaykhus with them. You know, so the other Rebbe has to be more relaxed because he has to give to his talmidim. So I think it's foul. I believe, you know, the one Rebbe that I'm thinking about who's very intense, you know, and very, very serious and very intense, I think a lot of it is a safeguard. In other words, if you're always serious, and I'm not suggesting for any of us right now, you know what I'm saying, it's jumping the gun, jumping levels, but if a person, like, after working on himself, or a person's able to handle it, and he's very serious, he's very intense, and he's always thinking about not wasting time, and this and that, so the advantages, I'm not someone to know what a person should do. The advantage is that you will waste less time. You'll waste less time. You know, and even if you go play basketball, but you're always thinking, you know, might not be good for the relaxation, but you're always thinking, you know, what I have to get back. You know, I got my exercise, what I have to get back. The seriousness stops a person from saying Lashon Hara also many times because of schmoozing unnecessarily. You know, if a guy needs something, he'll schmooze with them, but he's always thinking, like, you know, gotta have to get back to Gemara. So it's very, very good. It's very, very helpful. I'm not saying it's good for you, but it's very helpful in keeping a person, if a person can handle it, keeping a person, you know, between you and Shemayim, between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, definitely, it's very helpful. Because you'll waste less time, you won't say foolish things. It's very helpful. And another, but once you let go of that guard, once you let go of that seriousness, it's very hard to control. As any time if you relax from that straight border, straight seriousness, when you relax it, what happens is there's a danger that even if you're relaxing it for a good reason. You know, so the Rebbe that's relaxing his guard, the Rebbe that relaxes, why? Because he knows, blah, 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 says, ah, you're doing, you know, how the Yankees doing, so he relaxes himself, he doesn't care about the Yankees necessarily, but he's relaxing himself for the Talmud's sake, but the danger is that it's very easy to step too far. Schmoozing too long, maybe you'll slip into Lashon Hara, you know, it's very easy to slip, it's very, very easy to slip. Farther than it's very easy to slip and end up doing the wrong thing. So that's the question. Do you say stay serious all times and stay safe? Of course, you won't be able to ben adam l'chavero, you're weaker. Because ben adam l'chavero, it's harder to give to people. It's very hard to give to people if they see that if you're very tight on it. It's very, very hard. People, it's very hard to give. On the other hand, if you relax, there's a danger of letting go. It's a very big danger of letting go. I don't even know. It's very shaykh, a person, you know, for, you know, has to spend, before a person learns how to relax, maybe a person has to learn how to value his time, and then afterwards, because if a person never learns to value every second, value his time, he'll never do it. I don't know, but I've had different rebbeim. The rebbeim that were more relaxed, were more geschmack, and more enjoyable, in terms of, you know, personality wise to talk to, but they're being that more intense. I mean, I learned a lot from that. You learn a lot when you're hanging around the person that's not wasting any time. Your Rebbe who's schmoozing with you, he's also not wasting time, but you don't see that intensity, you don't see that asmada when you see someone that smamish, like, looks up from the sefer to answer your question and puts it down right back into the sefer. He doesn't want to waste a minute. You know, it's very difficult. You know, I'll tell you, Rabbi Shlomo said, this is Bran Or Yisrael, I believe, that a person between, there was a person that met Rabbi Shlomo between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur was, or El, I don't know. He didn't talk, because he had a tiny tibur. people, there are people that I have a friend that I don't know if he still does. As a bacher, we keep a tiny steeper between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, or at least on Rosh Hashanah. Maybe even the whole Aseret Me'etzuva would keep like a tiny steeper. He wouldn't talk to anyone, not on learning. So Rabbi Shaul Salanter met up with him, and you know, That's not the story of the Rabbi Shaul Salanter. The story of the Rabbi Shaul Salanter is, I'll get back. Rabbi Shaul Salanter's story was that a person, Rabbi Shaul Salanter, I believe, met up with someone. Sesame Chuba maybe was, if we're mixing it up, and it was, and the person was very, very serious, and he had a very serious face. Rishal said hello to him, said hello, and Rishal said of Vart that I shouldn't have to suffer because of his Ben Adam, because of his Avodas Hashem, I don't have to suffer. You know, Rishal Salanter was magish that you know you can't let someone else can't get hurt because of your. Because of your intensity, because of your avodas Hashem, can't be on someone else's expense. So Rishal Salanter said, I don't know if I'm saying 100% accurately. And it's a big shiloh. When a person wants to keep a tiny divor, I know I have a friend that kept a tiny divor. You know, but it's a little bit frustrating. You know, because then you speak to the guy, he won't speak to you. So not. The truth is, I can't say the real reason why it bothers you. It would bother me necessarily is because I want to speak to him. Also bothers you. You feel like you know. You feel put down. Like he's so firm. He doesn't talk, and you feel like, you know, you feel like you're a bum, maybe, you know, you're talking, he won't talk to you. You feel bad. I'm not saying it's because of your greatness you feel bad, but you feel bad. So it's not so simple. It's not so simple. I'm not saying not to do a tiny steamer, but the point is, that's the area, that's the difficulty between being very stark. It's mamish a difficult area. A person might have to draw lines. Maybe a person during Seder could keep that intensity. During Seder, a person can be very, very intense. And outside Seder, when he's more involved with people, he can more relaxed. You know, it's very difficult. A person has to be intense sometimes. A person can't always be, you know, Mr. Jolly. You know, he's learning his Seder, he's got to be intense sometimes. It's not possible to you waste time if you're not intense. But we're talking here more about schaik. L'chein yasser adam es atzmo, a person should give himself musar, should train himself. Shalai yischaik, he should not be involved in schaik. Shalai yignalai rav, he shouldn't... What? I'm just kidding. Shalai yignalai rav, he shouldn't establish for himself a rebbe, a chavar, or a friend, misachik, who's a joker, who's a prankster, who's a joker. Doesn't mean not to have a rebbe or a friend that has a sense of humor. It means a rebbe or a friend that is not serious. There's a rebbe or a friend that's not serious about life and loses himself without any seriousness. Shenamar, as it says, Le'yashavti v'slay misachim, I never sat in a group of jokesters. Uksiv v'chal etzav yeh moisar, I'm not sure what this means. I looked it up, but I don't remember exactly. Alright, you know, it's very interesting. This is a problem. I don't know, I'm wondering about Purim, right? What is Purim? How's a person supposed to be acting on Purim? You know, a person's drunk, so it's very hard to tell him how to act because he's drunk. But where's a person supposed to be acting like? In other words, is a person... Yeah, but so if a person... That's true. But what happens? A person can be drunk, and usually, by the way, it depends on the person, but also depends on how much you drink. A person could drink a lot and be silly, and a person can drink a lot and be happy, and there's a difference between the two. Alright? Some people cross over the line. There's a difference between the two. First of all, drunk and happy, and drunk and silly. It might depend on how many cups, it might depend on the person and both. And I realize that a person's job on Purim is to be drunk and happy, not drunk and silly. And how does a person make sure he's drunk and happy, not drunk and silly? One is jolting too much. That's one. But two, a person has to set up the situation. A person has to be intelligent and try to set up the situation beforehand that he shouldn't be silly. Meaning, if I'm Purim, I'm going to affirm a guy's going to drink and hang out with his friends and have a suda at his friend's house. You know, a suda with other friends. You know, chances are he'll be silly. But when you have a Purim Suda by your Rebbe's house, you have a Purim Suda by Rosh Hashiva's house, it's more likely that there'll be more simcha than just stomp foolishness and stomp silliness. Because there, the focus is on more, there's a focus around the Rebbe, there's a focus around the person who he hopefully, you know, saying the Vaitaira, and there's a focus on that. If you drink too much, no matter who's there, it might not help. And I really think that's more the avodah on Purim, you know. That a person has to prepare himself properly, prepare himself in where he's gonna be. Is he gonna be with people that he feels a kasher of Tyra with? And therefore, he's going to want to speak Torah. When a person's with his Rebbe, so he wants to speak Torah. When a person's with his friends, so he doesn't have a kasher, a ruchnisig kasher, it's not on his mind, Torah. You know, a person should not drink too much. You know, I know that doesn't permanent, that's a long time away. But also, you know, even for myself, I would say, a person should prepare more different Torah on Purim. Because if he prepares and said, I'm going to prepare loads and loads of Torah, and I want to get it all, and I want to say it all in Purim, then he'll be able to say different Torah when he's drunk. But if he doesn't prepare different Torah, he's not prepared to say different Torah, then he has no way to express his simcha. He has no way to express his simcha except with foolishness. You know. I don't know. It's Ken Zion. I would assume that Purim was not meant for silliness. I'm not saying don't get drunk. I'm not discussing that. But I assume Purim was not meant for silliness. It was meant for simcha. Simcha shel mitzvah. Something to think about before next Purim. How a person prepares. It has to be done by preparation. And by preparing how much you're going to drink, also is also preparation. Because otherwise a person's not going to, you know, it only takes, you know, if you want to be Mekayim Achal Yada, fine, Mekayim Achal Yada. I've gotten pretty drunk and I've never been Mekayim Achal Yada. And it's probably dangerous for a person to try to be Mekayim Achal Yada. I don't know any person that was Mekayim Achal Yada. He still knows, if he thinks about it, he still knows. Mordechai. Okay, he still knows that. So how much do you have to drink to be? If you drink too much, you won't. If a person drinks a certain amount that he's high and he's very happy, then he could be still have some element of control that he tries to focus on. You know, if he's hanging around the right people, to focus around Tyra. If a person has no control, or a person is just going to be silly, then it's hard to imagine that's the avoda. It's hard to imagine that's the avoda for. The avodah of Purim is to maintain the Torah, maintain the Simcha, without becoming Schaik. There could be a little bit Simcha like that's closer to Schaik that you wouldn't allow during the year. You know, you wouldn't necessarily allow during the year because you guys, under the influence of alcohol. But something that reflects Simcha of Mitzvah, Simcha of Torah, and doesn't just reflect pure happiness and foolishness and silliness. All right, let's continue. How to say that? Habiros yesh. Habiros yesh b'simcha b'shaik. There are many rows in simcha and shaik. There are many evils that can come out from simcha and shaik. Kimay, for example, hasameach b'michshol chaveray. A person that rejoices when his friend stumbles. Be'eshem agil o pega rami pigei aylam. When something bad happens to someone else, he's happy. And this it says, in the fall of your enemy, actually it says ayivcha. Everyone says it wrong, unless I have a mistake. Is that what you have? Because everyone says, well, everyone goes to pasuk wrong. Great. Shaita, you're just ahead of the pasuk. All right, b'nafal ayivcha. People say b'nafal ayivcha atisach. It's not b'nafal ayivcha atisach. Ayvecha means someone else. Aivecha, the Bakara says Aivecha instead of Ayivcha, you have to correct it. Aivecha means your enemies. Ayivcha means your enemy. Benafal Ayivcha, when your enemy falls, singular. Al Tismach, you should not rejoice. Not when your enemies fall. If this was a pasuk in the Torah, you'd have to correct the Bakara. Of course, if someone quotes you this pasuk, whatever. Don't laugh. Now, like I did. I'm gonna follow Yivcha al Tismach. Ayvecha, everyone says I'm gonna follow Ayvecha al Tismach. I never chach. Everyone says I'm gonna follow Ayvecha al Tismach. When everyone quotes this, it's a famous pasuk to quote. Follow Ayvecha al Tismach. I never heard anyone quote this pasuk right. I'm gonna follow Yivcha, or at least not I paid attention. Follow Ayvecha al Tismach. Your enemy's singular. Alright. You know, I like to discuss this a little bit. Why would a person be happy? Why would any person be so sick? Why would a person be so sick to be happy when someone else falls? Now, I'm not talking about someone slips on a banana peel, alright? If you're walking down the street and you see someone slip on a banana peel, it is funny because I once heard, you heard this from my ground, I once heard that humor comes sometimes from the unexpected, comes from when something unexpected happens. It brings humor to a person. Something like totally strange happens, it brings humor to the person. So when someone slips on a banana peel, so I could see why a person would want to laugh, but then you got to control yourself because, you know, the person hurt himself. But that's not what we're talking about here. That's something else. We talked about that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Benafala Yivcha. What the Orcha Siddiqim is talking about is literally someone hurt himself, someone lost his money, and you're happy. Someone hurt himself and you're happy. That's what he says. Kal v'chaymer. Madach, when your enemy falls, you should be happy. Certainly when your friend falls, you should be happy. And by the way, I have a good shot for Elio. It's a good question. Why is David a fall of Yivcha? When your enemy falls, you should be happy. It should say when your friend falls, certainly when your enemy falls, you should be happy. No. If I care, why would you be... Well, that's a question I'm getting back to. Why would you be happy? We have the answers. All right, I got answers. Well, what does it say? What does it mean when your enemy falls, should be happy? So it means, that's obvious, right? Because when your friend falls, that's a pshat. It says your enemy, because when your friend falls, who in the right one would be happy, right? So what's the Orcha Siddiqim here? Orcha Siddiqim says here, when your friend, I have a kash on the Orcha Siddiqim. Because he says here, when your friend falls, when something bad, I'm sorry, happens to your friend, you shouldn't be happy. As it says, we'll follow Yivcha al Tismach. What do you have to tell me that? What does the Orcha Siddiqim have to tell us that? That's when your enemy, and the Orcha Siddiqim doesn't say when your enemy hurts himself, he says when your friend hurts himself. I'll tell you the pshat. I'm going to say a very crude pshat. Pshat is the sauce. This is the MS pshat. Pshat is the sauce. Yes, say no. What? No, but why does the Orcha Siddiqim have to tell us that? The pasuk says when your enemy falls, you shouldn't be happy. Oh, that's your answer. All right. But I think the pasuk behind the pasuk is when your enemy falls, you shouldn't be happy because you don't have to tell me when your friend falls, you shouldn't be happy, right? Why should you be happy if your friend falls, right? That's why I'm learning the pasuk. The way I'm learning the pasuk, I'm asking Kash. So why does the Orcha Siddiqim have to tell us that when your friend falls, when your friend hurts himself, you shouldn't be happy? Of course, you're not going to be happy. The Orcha Siddiqim should only tell you when your enemy falls, you shouldn't be happy. Not when your friend hurts himself. All right, we'll just say the obvious pshat. The obvious pshat is this: awesome. Why is a person? How is it possible that if a person's friend loses money, person's friend hurts himself, or whatever way, how is it possible a person would be happy?
You know, it's all for the best.
No, let me finish. No. That would be a good thing to be happy if called Madav Rechon on top of it. One sec. The pshat is as follows. By the way, this is how cruel we are, and this is how cruel most people are before they work on themselves. And another, the answer is obvious, right? When a person's friend wins the lottery, a person's very close friend wins the lottery, are we happy or are we sad? It depends. If he's going to give me part, I'm happy. If he's not, I'm happy. So, if you got, the truth is, they're bachrim sitting out by our table that are on the madriga, that when their friend wins the lottery, even though they won't get any money, they'll be truly happy for them. There are such people here. But with me, if I would hear, to be honest here, if I would hear that my friend won the lottery, or my friend just hit it big on an investment, I would you know, I don't know if I would be, you know, if I would have, maybe I'd be a little bit happy. I'd try to like make myself not look so bad. But I'll tell you one, I definitely will be thinking to myself, there definitely will be pangs of jealousy, like thinking to myself, oh wow, he's so lucky, he's got all this money now, he's rich. And in my son, there's going to be pangs of pain for me, alright? Why? It's kinna. It's jealousy. It's jealousy. But I'm not even talking about the lottery. When a person, when someone else's friend has success, it takes away from me, it could, if I don't have the right, if I don't work on myself and I don't have the right hashkafa, then it hurts, it takes away, it hurts me. Why? Because when a person's happy with life, much of a person's happiness in life is based on where he stands compared to others, and especially compared to where his friends stand. When a person thinks to himself, wow, I'm smart, usually it's because, well, look at the people around me, I think I'm smarter than them. Person feels rich, person feels wealthy. It's because he compares himself to who's around him. If a person lives in a very wealthy community, and that's the people he associates with, and he's from the poorest in that wealthy community, the person does not walk around feeling wealthy. That's the way we are. And our simcha, our happiness from life, from the things we have, is based on where I feel I stand. Which means that, bottom line, in all honesty, we never say it, and we all, oh, you won the lottery, oh, it's wonderful, I'm so happy for you, and give the guy a big hug and kiss, I'm so good, that's wonderful, you're so lucky. And the person could put on all the shows in the whole world. His friend could be a chassan. His close friend could be a chassan. Oh, go to the run to the bar and run to the chassan, and I'll do a dance in the middle. And oh, I'm so happy for you, baloney. He's not. Everybody? I'm not saying that. A lot of people, yes, I'm saying. Baloney. There's fake. There's fake there. He's not so happy. Oh, he's got. I'm still not married. He got such a chashuv shera. He got such a wealthy girl. He's thinking to himself. Oh, I don't have. But when he hears that his friend that just got a Lexus, that the Lexus broke down, wow. It's not so bad I don't have a car. Look, it's like, oh, I feel so bad for you. It's terrible that your Lexus broke down. I feel so bad for you. It must be so difficult for you. Oh, baloney. Baloney. Inside, you feel better about your own situation in life. Because your situation in life, by most people, is dependent on other people's situations in life. That's the way most, many people are. If none of you have this to any extent, then you have the natural tendencies of a mouth. This is the human mesh. People we never say this publicly. This is a disgusting thing to say. Only a mind must survive. We say disgusting. This is a disgusting thing to say. I'm saying disgusting things here, but I have to say it because I have to speak out what the truth is. We don't say this. If someone else has just got a Lexus, you don't tell them, oh, I'm so upset. You know, you have a Lexus and I don't. We don't tell them that. We say we're so happy. And most people aren't happy when the guy brings a Lexus. By the way, when you pull up with your new car, don't be stupid. Realize that just because everyone says they're happy doesn't necessarily mean they're happy. They might be jealous. Think about it. Would you be jealous if someone else pulled up with their new car? Think about it. Don't be stupid. The people that brag about their kids and they brag about their this and they brag about their that. Stupid. Do you like when other people brag? If you do, then it's not your fault. You don't realize that you don't realize that other people don't like it. But all right, anyways. This is the way people are, and this is the biggest thing if a person work. This is one of the most important things for a person to work on, and it's not overnight. It takes work. It takes a lot of work. I once heard a line. It made me feel better when I heard this line. I once heard a line. I don't know if I ever spoke in detail about this topic. I don't remember speaking about it so much this year. A rebbe once said a line, should make us feel better. He said, He said that a person that's happy with someone else's simcha is a malach. He said, but a person that doesn't feel tzar when someone else has pain is nishlemesh. He said the whole thing in Yiddish, but I don't speak it. So he said a person that's happy when someone else has something good, or someone else has simcha, is a malach. The person doesn't feel tzar when someone else is tzar is nishlemesh. But you see, this expression has a strong truth to it. It's not a simple thing to be happy when someone else has something. If a person is happy when someone else has something, that's a wonderful midah. Wonderful midah. If a person has it already, he should just build it. There will be points when someone else has something that will make him happy because it affects him. In other words, there are different levels, obviously. In other words, there are different levels. There are situations where I really want a car and I don't have a car and someone else has a car. That person definitely is going to have a hard time being happy for this friend. But not only that, even if I have a car already, but now that he has a car, I don't feel as good about the fact that I have a car. I don't feel as good about my situation in life because now he has a car. It's all about me. I think for most people, no one should feel bad about it, this is the human nature that Hashem wants us to break. Hashem made a person very selfish, where everything's about me. You know, I want to feel good about my situation in life. How do I feel good about my situation in life? Practically speaking, when someone else doesn't have something, I have something, I feel happy about my situation. Someone else has something, I don't, I feel better about my situation. So that's how it works out practically. And therefore, a person's not happy when other people get, because it hurts him, if anything. And when someone else loses something, so that's a pshat here. He says when there's something bad happens to your friend, you're happy. It's not the pshat that you're a cruel, vicious person and you're a sadist and you want other people to lose their money, you want to see other people in pain. Chas v'shalom. When you see other people's pain, you feel bad. But bottom line, when someone else lost something, when someone else lost some money, when someone else doesn't have something, bottom line, do you feel some simcha there? You feel a little better about your own situation? You know? Not that you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to really appreciate what I have. But you possibly feel a little relieved, you know, feel a little bit better that, you know, my situation's, you know, pretty alright. You know, I think to myself, oh, that guy doesn't have this, I gotta feel better. So that's been a full yivcha altisma. When your enemy falls altisma, to a certain extent every person around you could be your enemy. Because when you live life with competition on everyone else, and you're basing your standards on everyone else, then every single person around you, to a certain extent, has an element of enemy to him. To a certain extent, he's your enemy. He's your rival. He's your rival. Every person around you is your rival. A person's avodah in life is to make every person his friend. His friends should only be his friends. His friends should not at all have a element of enemy, of a rivalry to it. Someone else just won the, what should we be like? It's so difficult. Someone else just won the lottery. I'm so happy for him that he has. What about me? I'm the same as I was before he won the lottery. Much of this is dependent on the midah of Sameach B'Chalko. When a person's happy with what he has, and it really has to be between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person happy with what he has, and just has betachon in Hashem, that whatever Hashem gives him is gevul, and he appreciates everything Hashem gave him, and he knows that everything Hashem does not give him is for his best. If a person lives on the madrega of Eza Asher Sameach B'Chalko to its fullest, then only then he can be happy when other people have. Because it doesn't hurt him that other people have. Hashem gave me what I have and I'm happy. I want everyone else also to be happy. I want everyone else to have everything. Hashem should bless them. Happy people have a much easier time, forgetting it's called, happy people have a much easier time, right, wanting other people to have. But when a person's not happy, when a person's not a happy person, it's kemat impossible for the person to be happy for other people. Because if he's not happy himself, then how is he going to be happy for someone else? Automatically, there's going to be an element of pain. That person has it. Oh, what about me? And even if that guy's getting a car and you have a car. Oh, he has a car and he has everything. And me, look, I have a car, but I struggle in other areas. And my parents don't give me everything I want. This and that. It's impossible. This is not much one of the biggest things. It's not a small avaida. Alright. So I was taking the road test first time. I didn't know if I had a park with kids. I get in this car with this lady, and she's really friendly, and she's really nice. And I'm like, Akash Baruch, wow, your mama's there for me. I take the test, I'm doing okay. I get to the parallel park, and I'm like, I turn the wheel, to the right, turn the steering wheel to the right, and then I'm just like, not sure exactly when to turn back or what to do. She sees I don't know what I'm doing, so she proceeds to put her hands on the wheel, and she said, no, turn now, and she grabs her hands on the wheel, and she helps me park, and sure enough, did a very good park with her help, and of course, I don't think that's too legal, so I did a perfect park with her help. So we think everything, wow, I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is amazing, Hashkacha Pratis, Hashem is so good to me, and he is, but the last turn I made, I was by a stop sign, and there was a bus coming, a school bus, of all things, and there was plenty of space for the school, for me to get in without waiting another, few minutes for the school bus.
12-second rule.
So I figured, okay, I'll turn. I turned. The problem was, and I didn't know this rule, that she said, had the school bus not slowed down, he would have hit you. I said, but I left plenty of room, right? The school bus could see me. So yeah, but you have to, you have to treat it as if the school bus is not slowing down. You have to make the turn with enough space that even if the school bus doesn't slow down. And it was called a dangerous action. And she's like, it's a dangerous action. So I'm like, does that mean I fail or something? Are we going to fail? She's like, well, I don't have a choice. I have to fail you. So I'm like trying to, I figured she's so nice to me. I'm trying to like beg, I didn't realize that, and I was hoping to get Rachmanis from her, but sure enough, she failed me. All right, but I was bothered by Akasha. What's a pshat that Akadosh? What's a pshat? Bechamish. What's a pshat that Akadosh? What's a pshat? What happened here? L'chayra, I thought it was Hashkacha Pratis. Hashem is watching over me. It was a crazy mice. The lady was very friendly, similar birthday. She helped me park. And then I feel. So what was the tachlis of the whole thing? No, so what was the point? What was the point of the whole thing that this lady came along with everything like set up for me? So why did Hashem send the school bus? Everything else Hashem sent to make me pass, and then the school bus comes and I fail. So the pshat is the thing is itself. It says by Avram when he sent out Eliezer. It's a very difficult psukim. He sends out Eliezer, and Eliezer says, Takadosh Baruch Hu, whichever girl comes to the well and helps me, gives me water to drink, she's the one that's for Rivka, she's the one that's Bashert. Right? Sure enough, she comes, works out. Then he goes to what's it called's house. He goes to okay. Find the buzzer. Okay. Where's the pasuk? Sorry? Oh, here it is. So it says like this. He says, so then he comes to the house of the Suel, and Eliezer says to him as follows. He says to him, he repeats what happened by the well, and he says, when as soon as this girl came, he said, I thanked Hashem, and I said, Baruch Elok Hashem Elokei Baruch Hashem Elokei Adonai Avram Asher Enchani B'derech Emes that he led me on the right path, that he chose, that he gave me a daughter for my son, for my servant's son. And now, if you want to do chesed with me, send her off, and if not, I'll leave. So the question is, he contradicted himself. He says to him that I thank Hashem for sending me on the right path, and then right afterwards he says, Dad, tell me, you want to give her to me or not? And if not, I'm going to leave. So Shaila is, if there's an option of leaving, you could say he was just playing with him, he knew what was going to happen, but he says, I'm going to leave if you don't give her to me. That means if he doesn't give her to me, that means it wasn't Bashar, because that's not going to be the one that's given for Yitzchak. So why? How could he go ahead and tell him that I thank Hashem for bringing me on the right path, and then it comes out that he doesn't have a shidduch, that's not the right shidduch, so it wasn't the right path? The answer is that sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu leads a person. A person goes out with a girl. You can go out many times with a girl. Mamish to the point, they're close to getting engaged. And it doesn't make sense. What a Hashem, everything was Bashar, everything worked out, everything worked so well, and then afterwards, it doesn't work out. So the pshat is that Hashem is showing you this is Bashar. This is Bashar. When a person sees Simana from Shemayim, Avad, it's Bashar, what's happening in your life. Just because the punchline doesn't work out in your favor, doesn't mean that every single step of the way wasn't Bashar. Eliezer is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course it's Bashar. Look what happened. All of a sudden I come to this well. Who do I meet? A relative of Avram who gives him water to drink. Of course it's Bashar that I'm meeting this girl. Of course it's Derech Emes. Of course it's Ashkacha Pratis. Of course it's the path from Hashem. Just because it doesn't work out in the end doesn't mean that the whole thing wasn't Bashar. Same thing over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing the whole road test I took. Hashem was showing me, I'm in charge of you. It's Ashkacha. I can make you pass if I want you to pass. It's all Ashkacha Pratis. Hashem was showing me I can pass if I want to. But I don't want you to pass. The fact that it doesn't work out in the end does not at all contradict the fact that it's the path led from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's road test number one. Road test number two. That's a better one for those that have failed. Road test number two had a Chinese lady, Oriental lady, and never get an Oriental for a road test because they're very straight and strict and proper. And she was really tough on me. I mean, I made a catering, and of course she did it on a crowded street where there were cars there. And I just tapped, the car, when I was taking the catering, and she failed me. Like, anyways, what kind of nonsense is that? I try to be all honest. I mean, not because of her, because I knew I'd fail, but I was like, so maybe I should go ahead and find out whose car and see what type of damage I did. She's like, just go. I don't think I did any damage. But anyways, that was road test number two. Road test number three.
Connecticut or New York?
Well, the end of road test number three, because I didn't say road test number four, unless I'm driving illegally. But road test number three, what happened was, I had two friends taking a road test for the first time. Of course, I'm up to number three, and they're taking the first time a few days before me. So I started thinking to myself, wow, if these two guys pass on the first time, and I fail, this is no Gayar Musarvat actually for today, we were discussing yesterday, and I fail, I'm going to feel really bad. Make me feel even worse about the fact when I fail the third time. I mean, if I pass the third time, if I know I'm going to pass the third time, all right, so I'm happy they passed too. I'm not that bad, but I'm nervous about them passing. So there's a Gemara thinking, I think. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, Kol Mispal. I don't know if this is when I chapped the pshat or I just applied it. Kol Mispal Ba'av Chaver. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma that anyone who davens for his friend, V'hu Tzarech Laisa Davar, and he needs the same thing. Anyone davens for his friend and you need the same thing, Hashem answers you first. Famous Gemara.
So they fail in your pass?
One second. No. But I did pass. But anyone that davens for his friend, the story's not over yet, alright? There's a few more clauses. Chinese cookies, we'll see. Anyways, I said, Heshi, have you heard this from me before? You're bored. You heard this? You heard this before? I said this over Muslim? You've heard this before? Kol Mispal Ba'Chaver, anyone dance for his friend, and he needs the same thing, he's answering first. So the question is, what does it mean if I dance for my friend and he needs the same, and I need the same thing, I'm answering first. What's the difference if we both need the same thing? let's. Why isn't it good enough? I daven that he should get a new house, and I'll get a new car. I'm daven for his things, and Hashem sees that I care about other people. Hashem will take care of me. Why does the dafka say, the Gemara Bava Kama? Why does the dafka say that I need the same thing? And the answer to the Chara is obvious, though there are other pshats, and I think the pshat that I like, the pshat is as follows. Because when you're diving for your friend, and you need the same thing, it's very hard, you don't want to dive in for him. You, for example, person, you need a job, and your friend also needs a job. You're not even competing, but you both need jobs. So you're diving for your friend. Let's say you said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give Yaakov a job. Now, you're not making a clause to HaKadosh. You're not that low. You're not making a clause to Hashem. Give Yaakov a job. On condition I get a job too. When you daven that Yaakov should get a job, you're basically telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to a large extent, anyone that's ever experienced this would understand it. You're basically telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give him a job. And regardless of myself, Hashem, please also give me a job. But as soon as you start talking about someone else, you're basically saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, give him a job regardless of what happens to me. Now that is greatness. Because it's very hard for a person that's struggling with something he needs to see someone else get it. So when you daven from someone else and you need the same thing, that's greatness. That's unselfishness. That Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're willing to forgo yourself, someone else should have, even if you don't have, Mamela, Hashem answers you first. So I said to myself, I have to daven for them to pass, regardless of what happens to me. When is Chinese night in Shifa Rockaway?
Tuesday.
What? Tuesday. So Tuesday, I think I was taking the road test. The next day. Maybe I'm making it more dramatic, maybe it's 2 days later, but anyways, I get a Chinese fortune cookie. I don't believe in fortune cookies.
I'm gonna laugh
at me, but I'll tell you the pshat and why you should believe in fortune cookies. And when they tell you your lucky numbers are, I'm not telling you to buy a lottery ticket. I'm just saying as follows. This is what it said in the fortune cookie. Okay? I even remember it still. I think I lost the paper. The outcome you've been waiting for is assured. Continue to persevere.
You mean anything?
So what is that important to you? So, why am I saying that I believe in the fortune cookie? Because, of course, I don't believe in fortune cookies. But if I received a message, if to me it told me a message, then that means it was from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It could be written. It could be whatever it is. When a person gets a message. Just because it wasn't obviously the belief in fortune cookies, but Hashem sent me that paper, Hashem sent me that fortune cookie, exactly mamish, that's the first thing that hit me right on the head. The outcome you've been waiting for is assured, continue to persevere. Sure enough, my two friends passed, and I passed soon after. Anyways, so, if anyone fails a road test, less than two or less, shouldn't feel bad. I feel more than two times. But you also shouldn't feel bad. And by the way, you can always think to yourself, there is a very big advantage of failing your road test. You can always make someone else feel better that's failed their road test. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Okay, any more stories? Not that I can think of right now. Anyways, we're discussing here in Orach HaSadikim that B'nafol Ayivcha. When your enemy falls, Al Tismach, he shouldn't be happy. So we discussed yesterday one of the most important yesaidis in a person's life. That we said, what does it mean? The Orach HaSadikim says that if anything bad happens to your friend, you shouldn't be happy. As it says, when your enemy falls, Al Tismach, don't be happy. So we explained yesterday, what does it mean? The Pasuk says, when your enemy falls, don't be happy. Why does it say your enemy? Well, chayr, because why would anyone be happy when their friend falls? Why would anyone be happy when their friend hurts himself? But the Orchid Siddiqim comes to tell us that you shouldn't be happy when your friend falls, and he quotes this pasuk. Why does Orchid Siddiqim have to tell us not to be happy when our friend falls, and why does he quote this pasuk with this pasuk? So we said yesterday, because pashat, because why is it that people are happy when someone else falls? And I know they don't say they're happy, and I know, you know, but why, to a certain extent, there is happiness is because it makes them feel better about their own situation. Because people in life, basically, people that do not work on themselves, live their life based on standard, where they stand with the people around them. So the better, the more successful people around them are doing, the less they feel they have. The less people around them are doing, the better the more they feel they have. So maybe when someone else has something, someone else makes money, when someone else gets a new car, you're not happy for him because you feel worse about your own situation. The guys go to, by the way, they're people that go to weddings of their friends, even their best friends. And they'll pretend they're happy, but inside it's gnawing at them. I'm not married. They have such a wealthy shit of this, and they're always thinking to themselves, they're not really happy. All they're doing is thinking about me. And this is the tendency of almost everybody naturally. Everyone's like that. But a fall like Yivcha, when your enemy falls, because if a person doesn't work on himself, every person's his enemy. We'll change the word if it makes you feel better. Every person's your rival. Every person's your rival. You're in competition with everybody. So you want every person to fall. You know, you won't say it. And of course, when the person wins the lottery and the person gets married, oh, I'm so happy for you. It's a wonderful. He tells you how she's such a special girl. And where did I? Oh, it's so wonderful. Meanwhile, the guy's thinking to himself, yeah, he's pulling on a show. He's thinking to himself, he's just thinking worried about himself and thinking about his situation, his problems. That's the way people are. So now, this is a very difficult thing person has to work on this. We mentioned yesterday that for a person to be able to work on this, he first of all has to learn to be happy with what he has. He has to work on the Mishnah. If a person's not happy with what he has, and it's always gnawing at him that he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that, he doesn't have that, it's going to be very hard for him to be happy when someone else has something, because it just reminds him of what he doesn't have. A guy that has nothing to do with himself, but always reminds him of what he doesn't have. And the other issue is, I'll ask a very stupid question. You're not supposed to ask this question, but I'll ask this question. Why should I be happy when someone else has something? Why should I be upset when someone else hurts himself or someone else loses something? Why should it's not me? Why should I be happy when he wins the lottery, when he gets a new car, when he gets a good job? Why should I be happy? What does it have to do with me? Why should I be happy? It's a disgusting thing to say, it is. Just quoting. Someone else would ask. Yeah. Why should I be happy? Why should I care if he lost his job? Also, he'll stop. So. You know what the truth is? I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you a chiddush. The only way for a person. The truth is, our lives, to a certain extent, revolve around ourselves. I'll tell you a big chiddush here. Rav Shimon Shkab says. I heard this from Rabbi Brown. Called Rav Shimon Shkab. Rav Shimon Shkab says it. I'm looking at it now. I haven't had a chance to go through it. Rav Shimon Shkab says in the Akdama to Shari Yosha that how does he says like this. He says, a Baal Gaiva, a lowly person, what's Ani? What's the Ani? What's the I? What's the Ani? The Ani is just himself, his body, himself, no one else. When a person is above that, so then it extends to his family also. Part of getting married and having family helps him broaden his Ani. It's not just I. I doesn't just mean him. I means my wife, my kids. The I becomes larger. And when a person becomes even greater, the I doesn't just include his wife and family. It includes everyone around him, includes all the Klai, so Klai is one body. What is Rav Shimon saying? Rav Shimon saying, you know how we get to like someone else? we know how we get to be happy when someone else gets something. We know how we get to be sad when someone else loses something. It's when he becomes part of me, when I have feelings for him. Why is a person's happy when his kid gets a job? A person's happy when his kid is happy. Why? Because his child, he feels for his child. His child's part of him. His child's part of him. It's interesting. Basically, we're saying a person really only cares about himself naturally. A person cares about himself. The Yetzer is to make every person around you part of you. That's also including yourself. He's my brother. I feel responsible for him. A person doesn't feel responsible for other people around him. It's not going to be sad or happy or other thing. You have to feel responsible for other people, that they're part of you. They're part of your life. The pasuk says, "V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha." So it's not just love your friend like yourself. The way to love your friend is when he becomes kamocha, when he becomes you. You only love people love themselves. Most people only care about themselves. They don't say it. They just care about themselves. They just worry about themselves. The way to fulfill v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is that a person should try to think to care about other people, that they should be included in himself. Person has to think, try to think and feel responsibility. That's Klal Yisrael. And try to think about who cares. Try to learn to care about other people and feel responsible for other people. Only then is it possible to be happy. When you feel responsible for other people, when you feel responsible, it doesn't have to be your child. When you feel responsible for other people, then when something good happens, then you're happy. Why are you happy? You're so happy for them. Not true. Deep, you're happy for yourself. Because they are part of you. They are somewhere connected to you. A friend, chaver. Chaver is a friend. Chaver, I think I heard this in the Rishiva. But chaver is a lashon of chibur, attached. Chaver is a lashon of attached. A friend is attached to you. He's part of you. If he's not part of you, if he's a separate identity, nothing to do with you, it's not possible to fulfill the after reich kamocha. I don't think it's possible. It only becomes because you're connected. A person learns to connect himself to other people, for responsible people, like he feels for his wife, feels for his children, then he's happy when someone else happens. But when a person lives, this is my box, then you can't say, oh, well, this is my box, and everyone else around me, oh, I'm so happy that happened to you. You know, as soon as if it's nothing to do with you, then you're not happy when something good happens to them. If anything, you're sad. Because something good happened to him. Something good happened to him. Nothing good happened to me. When I care about other people, and I feel responsible for other people, when something good happens to him, I'm happy. I'm happy. Something good happened to me. But something else happens good to him, it happened good to me too. Because I care about the other person. Thank you.